One, two, buckle my shoe. Gazing into the abyss, this time on Culture File with the help of a two-hour BBC drama set in Sheffield, the 1984 retro TV classic Threads imagined a nuclear war that was then, as now, just around the corner, its bandaged face seeded the nightmares of a generation of impressionable youth, one of those being Tig O'Sullivan, as he remembers in his latest Mushroom Cloud of Unknowing.
The sound of a few hundred boys moving through a corridor. The sounds of doors opening, classrooms filling, chairs scraping. The sound of adult voices asking for and eventually getting quiet. The distant click of brisk heels on tiles, accompanied by one of the most joyous sounds of this time in my life. A trolley with a television and a VCR. The door of our classroom opens. Our religion teacher wheels the trolley in. The sound of a male voice. The sounds of life in Northern Britain. Young love, pubs, houses. The sounds of radios and televisions as background to this life. The sounds of war. Over the course of a double class, the film that we were shown was Threads. Made by the BBC in 1984, the film is a portrait of the lead up to, events of, and aftermath of a nuclear war, told entirely through the lives of people in the city of Sheffield. It's pretty devastating and gave me one of the most harrowing and most important days of my school years.
Thinking of getting engaged anyway.
It's a hell of a time to be starting a family in the middle of a recession.
Drawing on the heritage of British social realist films of the era, the first half of Threads tells the everyday story of two young lovers, an unplanned pregnancy, a quickly planned wedding, and the awkward class tensions arising from two families being thrown together by circumstance. In the background of these lives, a geopolitical crisis told in overheard radio and television reports.
The United States has hinted it may send troops to the Middle East if the Russians don't move their forces out of Iran.
An American-backed coup in Iran. A Soviet military response.
Our legitimate Western interest in the Middle East.
A standoff over oil fields. Red lines, deadlines, escalation, and then.
Jesus Christ.
The second half of the film is set in the grim aftermath. Death and destruction are everywhere. We follow some of the characters we met earlier through the rubble of the city, the rubble of their lives. Into radiation sickness, and more often than not, death. Society itself has collapsed. Martial law, looting. A sheep is killed, its meat eaten raw. The focus shifts slowly from the days and weeks after the bomb to the months and years beneath the grey skies of a nuclear winter. Our one surviving central character and her baby trudging ever onward in an unremittingly bleak Northern Britain. The child's father, the heart of the start of the film, has, like many other characters, simply disappeared. Also gone, never to be heard again, are those responsible. The British, the Soviet, and the American politicians, the voices of central government with their warnings and instructions, all have fallen silent. The people, those who are left, are on their own. The film's credits rolled in silence. A strange air hung over our class for the remainder of the day. All casual violence was quietly suspended. Not a single dead arm was administered. Nobody was shoved into a wall or tripped. A strange, frightened solidarity took hold. Today, the nuclear threat is just as present and real as it was when writer Barry Hines and director Mick Lynch made their famous work. Several nuclear powers are involved, directly and indirectly, in unpredictable, uncontrollable wars. Wars that, if you believe the voices of the powerful that fill the airwaves and form the background of our lives now, are necessary, inevitable, just. As with anti-capitalism, anti-war positions are largely marginal now. the positions of unserious, unrealistic people. War is the ambient background noise, the necessary engine hum of capitalism itself. It's next to impossible to imagine something like Threads being made today. Public service television has changed drastically. Any version of Threads now would likely seek to present both sides of the nuclear holocaust issue, perhaps featuring some insect or rodent characters for whom humanity's demise is something of a boon. The days of captive audiences are long gone too, and in the marketplace of ideas, such grim visions would be left squarely on the shelf. By the time I emerged, shook, from room L in Carlo CBS, the Cold War was over. The initial wave of euphoria and optimism that greeted the triumph of capitalism had faded, and uncertainty had taken hold. It was a period to which one might have applied Gramsci's observation from 1929. The old world is dying, and the new world struggles to be born. A few short years later, however, the new order was so unassailable that Frederick Jemison noted that it was easier to imagine the end of the world than the end of capitalism. And yet we don't imagine. The images of horror that we see daily, on the news, on our phones, seem to bypass the imagination. We are seeing, constantly seeing, but failing to imagine. We fail to imagine the reality that is being lived through by so many people already in those parts of the world where climate and war make death a daily reality and life barely livable. We fail to imagine a world in which the new threads that connect us, the digital and electronic threads that are largely privatized, monetized, and entrusted to business, could be broken. We fail to imagine a truly human solidarity that will be needed when the voices of the powerful fall silent.
Tygo Sullivan's Cloud of Unknowing there, and this evening on BBC Four, Threads director and producer Mick Jackson tells the story of Threads at 10 p.m, followed at 10:20 by a screening of the film to inspire a new generation of nightmares.